Now tonight, I would like to just take a few moments and to share with you about problems. You know, as I look back in my life, my biggest problem that I will have in this year isn't anything that comes my way. It's how I deal with my problems becomes my biggest problem. There is right ways to deal with this situations, and there is wrong ways. The blame game is live and well. We rationalize to ourselves about all kinds of issues. We're in a problem here in America. We're in a problem around the world. Well, there is a virus that has just kind of taken us by storm. Who would have thought 3 weeks ago we'd be locked down across the world? Who would think that you could take pictures of New York City and Paris and see empty streets? The deal is there is a storm that's here. And God hasn't sent the storm, but He has allowed the storm. He is a good God in the storm. He wants to make a difference. And so, I want you to think about the problems that we're having. Don't make the problem bigger because of the way you deal with it. Don't make it worse than what it is. I remember the first time I made a bad grade in school, I blamed the teacher. If she'd have taught me better, I wouldn't have made a bad grade. But then I realized it was me and not the teacher. I realized I didn't study like I needed to be. And so that does make a difference in my life. I remember the first time that I had a bill I couldn't pay. Because I had lost my overtime. And then I got mad at where I worked because they cut my overtime. Well, it wasn't the place where I worked had a problem. It was my greed. I overspent my money. As a matter of fact, you may have a lot of problems right now in your personal life, in your financial life, because things are shut down and you're not prepared. You know, if you just live for the moment and live for the day, if you foolishly go and overextend in debt, don't blame the virus. Don't blame. It's our greed that takes us to where we are. So we always want to blame everything for our problems. But many times, my biggest problem is me. My biggest obstacle of doing the right thing is me. My attitude, my character in the storm makes all the difference in the world. So I'd like to teach you tonight how to face up to your problems. How to deal with them effectively and righteously. I want to tell you about a man in the Bible that probably had the biggest problem in his family that I could ever imagine. King David. King David had a son named Absalom who stole his kingdom, took it right out from under him. Let me just read a few words of this to see how David dealt with this and how all this became a part of their lives. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, it says, "Then Absalom," he said, "would say to him, look, your case is good and right, but there is no duty of the king to hear you." Absalom began to say, "You know, my dad's too busy to hang out to listen to you, but I'll listen to you." Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I was made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause could come to me, and I'll give you him justice. Come see me if you got a problem. I'll make sure it's treated fairly and right." And so it was, whenever anyone would come near him to bow down to him, he would put on his hands and take him and kiss him. He said, "Man, I'm your best friend." So Absalom was working to destroy his father. Can you imagine what kind of problem that is? Verse 6, "In this manner Absalom acted towards all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Absalom came in and defiled his own father. He stole their hearts. David heard about it. In verse 13, "And a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. So David said to all of his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, or else we shall not escape him from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overcome us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." Can you imagine that problem? What would you do if he was a dad? What would you do if that was your son? We'd be thinking about a way to kill him. We'd be thinking about a way to stop him. Well, let me tell you about the problem that came to David and how he handled it. The problem that we're having today in your family because of this storm, of this virus, of the work, of the social distance, of not being able to be around and losing worship, experiences, all those things in our life, we could really make this a mess because the devil would like to make it a mess. And so I want to give you some principles here today. How King David did this. What would you do in that storm? We're in a storm. I just can't believe that a few weeks ago we were living merrily and happily ever after. Our church was growing. Staff was put in place. 8 baptisms lined up. I mean, it was exciting what was happening at First Baptist. Not just First Baptist, but churches all over was excited. Easter's coming. What bigger day? I mean, everybody shows up for Easter. We're shut down. What must we do in that? We must maintain our character. We must maintain our principles of God in our life. Because if you let my emotions run this show, I'll be sitting in the corner. I'll be afraid of this. I'll be afraid of that. I'm afraid to do anything. We have all kinds of reasons to have social distance. We have all kinds of issues to be separated at this date. But we don't have any reasons to stop loving, caring, and touching people's lives. So let me share this with you. In Psalms 15, you may read this psalm and you may not put it together, but this is the background. David wrote Psalms 15 in response to 2 Samuel chapter 15, when he wrote about what happened. So, and Samuel has done all that he could to destroy his dad. This is how his dad handles it. Who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? David asked the question, God, who is going to run the kingdom of God? Who's going to do that? Is it the man with the biggest army? Because Solomon's army was now 3 times bigger than what David. David is living in the woods. If I read on that chapter, David left town. He went out at midnight. He's living in the woods. He's hiding in the woods. He has his army of a few thousand people with him in the woods. And he's penning this. And here is Absalom living there in the king's table. Thousands and thousands of army people and power and authority. And everybody's loving Absalom and throwing David under the table. How do you handle that? I really wouldn't do very good. Apart from God, I would try to get a gun to kill that guy. But man, God's people act differently in a problem. Now remember this. My biggest problem in 2020 will be not what happens to me. Will be how I deal with my problem. If I deal with my problem wrongly, then it doesn't ever go away. They can find a cure for the virus. But if I deal with it wrongly, if I deal with it outwardly, and I become angry and bitter and mad, it lasts for a long time. So my biggest problems I have in my life today is how I handled my problems when I was 16. How I handled my problems when I was 25. They're still lingering. Because when we find ourselves in a turmoil of life, we must act properly. You know, talking about toilet paper, you can't find any. But I remember back in the old days, Mr. Sharman used to make toilet paper. And as everybody was squeezing the toilet paper. And let me tell you this. Let me give you this analogy. When you're squeezed, what's in you comes out of you. If you're squeezed and your fruit of the Spirit is in you, you have peace, love, joy, meekness, faith, temperance. All that comes out with what's in you. But if you're squeezed, if the Spirit of God is not in you, they get you. And they don't want you. And what you're about to say isn't going to be good. And so, David says this, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in the holy hill? Is my son going to own this thing? He's got the biggest army. But David's counting on God. See, when you count on God in your storms, you're giving up what you know. When you've been offended, when people have hurt you, you're giving up what you're feeling. You're going to do the right thing. Now, David pins these next verses of scriptures. I want you to listen to them. Remember the storms he's in. He's in the woods hiding. He was the king just a week earlier in the palace. He's kind of like we're in the woods hiding. We can't even see each other. But how are you going to handle this? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in my heart. Who will dwell on that holy hill? David says, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness. Righteousness is a part of my life that is forever. And I want you to understand this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. We're the righteous ones. He died to take my sin, so I am right with God. I'm right standing with God, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. And what does David say in verse 2? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, does God's labor, speaks God's words, speaks healing, speaks forgiveness. He who works and lives uprightly, works righteous, and speaks the truth in his heart. Absalom was lying to everybody. He told everybody bad things about his dad. He deceived everybody to take over the throne. But King David knew that God put him on the throne, and King David wasn't going to get away from God's ways to stay on the throne. Even though Absalom had the biggest army, David had the biggest God. Now, who's going to be on that throne? At the end of the day, who's going to be on that throne? At the end of this virus, where are you going to be with God? How are you going to stand with God? Man, if you go, there's going to be a lot more in this storm that's going to come. I mean, this storm is coming, and every day we hear bigger numbers and bigger figures and more things to be concerned about. But where is our God in it? Where is our righteousness? Where is our truth? Where is our love? He says, he who does not backbite with his tongue. You know how David got kicked out of? Because Absalom used his tongue to destroy the king. Let me tell you something. Let me just ask you a question. How many people have you talked bad about that's hurt you? How many people who shortchanged you? You know what I love about Jesus? On the cross, when he was dying, he said, Father, just forgive those guys. They don't even know what they're doing. He wouldn't talk bad about us on the cross. He wouldn't say, where's my 12? Where you at, guys? What happened to you? Are you sissies? He said, God, forgive him. That's what David was doing to Absalom. That's what David was doing in his storm. He would not let his tongue. And listen to this. My problem is, I can justify my tongue with my rationalizing. I can lie to myself and say, I need to tell everybody how bad he is, how rotten he is, and how ornery he is, so I can feel better. But David said, he who walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth with his heart, and does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against the friend. You know what Absalom's going to do? He was going to raise their taxes. He was never going to listen to them. He's never going to help them. He lied. And let me tell you something. David says, I may be living in the forest. I may be hiding, but I'll not lie. I'll not quit. I'm going to love my boy. Now think about that. How can David say these words, hiding in the woods, when he's used to the palace? I'll walk uprightly. I will not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does take up a reproach against his friend. You know, there's going to be a lot of ugly stories come out of this virus, how people were trying to take advantage of people. I've seen it has busted a bunch of people who stole a bunch of toilet paper and hand sanitizer and tried to use it to make money off of. They need to bust them. I bet David was pretty smart. David could think a lot of ways he could get back in that palace, but he wasn't going to come in through the back door. David was going to come in through the front door. He wasn't going to manipulate. He wasn't going to lie. He wasn't going to steal. When you're broke, you look for ways to get money that you shouldn't be looking for ways to get money. When you're hurt, you got words you shouldn't be saying. David refused to lower his character. I told you this morning that, man, when your character, when your joy of life has changed and it changes your character is not built on faith. David had enough faith to know he was a little boy, a little shepherd. He knew how he killed the bear. He knew how he killed the giant. He knew how God brought him through it. And why would he be afraid hiding in the woods when there's a God in his life? See, the problem is not what you have in a problem. It's how you focus. I want Psalms 51 to hang on my refrigerator through this. I want Psalms 51 to be part of my life. I want to be the righteous one. I don't want to uprightly stand. I want to tell the truth. I don't want to overemphasize anything or underemphasize it. Nor does he backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. You know, neighbors can be troublesome. They can. They can be tough in your lives, and all kinds of things can happen in our lives. And I want you to know that God wants to be part of this, and when the neighbors are not living right, in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. You get mad at me, I get mad at you. Anybody can do that. But he ends there in verse 21, but overcome evil with good. It's pretty hard to do something good to somebody who just cut you. Somebody just kicked you out of your palace, lied about you. But he was going to take care of his neighbor. David was that kind of man. The Bible says that David loved the Lord with all of his heart. Right now his heart's showing up. His emotions are not controlling him. His faith in his heart. No one does evil. No one's evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. I don't know how many good friends I could have lost for what I said and did. I've lived my life many years. My problem is, how I handle my problems when people were ugly to me, how quick I could be ugly back. How quick I could feel good about it because the Bible said so. How quick I could weaponize this Bible and I quote verses to them and take them down. How quick I could use my Bible to prove them I'm right and you're wrong. How quick am I? I'm quick. So are you. But when God's leading your life in your storm, you will be neighborly. You will speak the truth. You'll be loving. You won't backbite. You just won't do it. I'm looking at David hovering around a little far out there with his chiefs, captains. And they're all saying, well, David, we could get in there and kill that sucker. We could take that back. We know that place. David said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go there. We're not going to let that falter in our lives. So those eyes against his friends. So remember this. In this hard time in America, don't lose friends, make friends. Befriend them and care for them. When people have hurt you, because when you've been to that store and you needed to buy something in your house and three people broke line and grabbed it in front of you, it's pretty easy to grab them, knock them down. But David knew how to, aren't you glad David knew how to write Psalms 51 and live it out? He said, in those eyes, a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. See, David knew that when God looked at Absalom, he didn't look in favor. But when he looked at David, he favored David. God knew that. See, David says, in those eyes, a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears in his own hurt, and does not change. You know, don't ever excuse yourself to say bad things and do bad things and swear and do bad words because you're hurting. I love David, and I've studied David. But when I found out David wrote Psalms 51, when he was being challenged like this, I loved him more. I want to be like David. I don't want to be like people who don't know how to stand in righteousness. And then he says this. You know, money always changes everything. I highly advise you don't loan money to your family unless you're ready to lose them. Remember that. Money always changes relationships. I've been hurt probably with money more than anything in my life, trying to help people, giving them situations, giving them this. You know, my friendship is more valuable than my money. And never let money take a friend from you. Be careful with money. He says, he does not put out his money at usury. In other words, he don't charge interest. You give him a dollar, all he needs is a dollar back. He doesn't use his wealth to take advantage of yours. That's what David did. Because David was the king. He probably had a big pot. But he said, I'll never use my money to take advantage of nobody. That's a king. That's a man of God. Be careful with it. Money is like a fire. It can either burn down your house or it can warm your house. You better let it warm your house. Because how many of us have a bad taste in our mouth about people because of money? David's in the forest, living in the rain. And he's not going to let money sway him. He's not going to use his money to get back to Absalom. Who does put his money in usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. You do this, and I'll make sure this will happen. So I ain't going to play that game. Take a bribe. He closes this chapter. He who does these things shall never be moved. In the desert, in the palace, I'll never be moved because the God that created me isn't going to let my problems become a bigger problem. I'm going to learn to walk with God in my storm. And when you can learn to walk with God in your storm, you'll never be moved. God will be with you. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll never hinder us. He'll bless us. My blessings in 2020, when I started year 2020, I looked at my outlook, I looked at my plans, I looked at this, I looked at that, and it's sure upside down today. It's totally different today. I've had to refigure so much, but in my refiguring, I want to be a righteous man. I want to speak good words. I don't want to give evil for evil. I don't want to hurt people. I want to walk with God. And so all the discomfort is happening across our world. There's going to be a lot of ugly show up. A lot of people trying to take advantage and listen to bribes and hurt people. But David says, he that does these things shall never be moved. That's how I want to live my life. That's how I want to make it right with God. So tonight, as you're sitting in your house, maybe you won't get to go to work tomorrow. Maybe things are changing. Maybe there's sickness. You don't know how to handle it. You're afraid. I just want you to know, when you walk with God, He's got more than your back. He's got your life. Amen? So let the Lord bless you. And never let your problems create a bigger problem. And let's let this year be a great year because our God has it in His hands. Amen. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. And may you walk with God. Pray. And if you have a need for your church, call. If you know someone who needs something from your church, call. If you know someone who is in a crisis, call. I will be there. The church will be praying. We'll work hard at this. Because God says we can, and that's what we'll do. God bless you. Have a great week.